because of a small audio issue, the first 2 minutes of the show are lost forever in the ether. But that's fine, because we didn't really cure cancer or reinvent the wheel anyways in the first 2 minutes. So here's the show, and it starts with Dwayne and I talking about the League's Cup. Damn, that's a bad name. Enjoy the show.
Well, you know, these games do have the potential to be slightly more competitive than they were back then, in the sense that MLS teams were playing against basically the youth teams of the Liga MX teams, and, you know, New England won it. So there you go. That's about where this tournament was at one point. But, go ahead.
I was going to say, for me, the composition of the tournament, like the Dynamo, LA Galaxy, RSL, and Chicago, feels so random. Like, first of all, how did they decide? How did they decide? Did they just put all the teams in a bucket and like, okay, Dynamo, you want to take part? Okay. I don't think the Dynamo and RSL were probably the first choices. Neither was Chicago. Come on, let's be real here.
Well, so, I'll argue they were, because if you look at the Hispanic population, and particularly the Hispanic population of Mexican descent in those metropolitan areas, they're pretty high. And a big part of this tournament's goals are to sell tickets and create revenue for the league and for Liga MX. That is Liga MX's play. Well, I don't think they'd argue it. This is about integration into the American market. This is completely a marketing play for them. What makes me upset about this from the MLS perspective is that they try and spin it as having competitive means as well. I don't think anyone in Mexico is trying to argue that this has any competitive value. This is purely exhibitions they are playing under the guise of a tournament in the United States to help their integration, to help their penetration into the American market even further, right? So these teams this year were selected based on their biggest value from that marketing perspective. Now, they announced that they're going to make this into a true sort of Europa League of North America, for lack of a better way to put it, although if it was truly the Europa League of North America, it would involve, you know, teams from more than two countries, or two and leagues, I should say.
Not like Club America. Because Club America is not Europa League level. Come on, it's the Champions League level. It's the Champions League favorite, perennial favorite every year. So there's that. But here, just to go back on how this tournament was announced, of course, it's on the heels of the tournament that had the Campeones Cup, right? Where it started the relationship between Major League Soccer and Liga MX, that partnership. And the League's Cup, I guess it's the second big quote-unquote tournament that comes out of that partnership between the two leagues to help each other's like status, I guess. But for me, it's what's the point? You're already putting, like, there's already enough games in Major League Soccer during this time period, July and August, with the US Open Cup for some teams still involved in, and if it's Canadian team, you have the Canadian Championship. It's a League's Cup. There's no Canadian team, of course, but there's only four teams. Next year, if it's a bit bigger, I wouldn't be surprised to see at least one Canadian team finding its way into that tournament. But it is like a cash grab. Let's not kid ourselves. It is to make money. And for me, I guess that's what rubs me a bit of the wrong way. It's like, what's the sporting aspect of this? What's to win? What's the, like, at least, you know what could be interesting if you want to make this interesting? Give $1 million to the winner, to the team, like to the players to split, or $1 million allocation money for the team who wins is from an MLS. And if it's the Liga MX, I don't know, if I'm giving $2 million to share, I don't know. That incentive, for me, there's no incentive in this tournament. And I feel that Cruz Azul and Tijuana will come, will show up and not really care if they lose or not. And they're going to use it as a training exhibition game, because for them, that's what it is. For MLS team, it's during the season. So, yeah, what's the incentive in this League's Cup tournament?
Well, there is none. I mean, look, if you added a significant cash bonus to the winner of it, you know, that is something they could do to increase the entertainment level of the games. I would argue that, you know, might make it a better TV product. It might make it a better in-stadium product for those that choose to watch, but it wouldn't change the base fact that there is no competitive value to it. They aren't qualifying to anywhere, and there's no history behind the event. I mean, I compared it to the Europa League a minute ago in the sense that, that, you know, I guess the Europa League has the Champions League spot on the line now. That's relatively new. But the Europa League had value onto itself just because of the length of time that it existed. So if you want to be a contrarian to me, you could say, well, if this tournament exists for 25 years, then it will have value. And I would agree with you. But my expectation is that it will not last that long, because this, to me, is not about this tournament. This is about further integration of Liga MX and MLS into what I believe in their long-term play is more single league kind of competition setup. So that might be the long-term play here in terms of the MLS. They might look at this as helping them with a little bit of revenue now, because they well sell tickets, particularly to Mexican fans that live in the cities that these games are taking place from, and they well do okay on television for that same reason. In terms of growing the MLS base, I don't think it does much in terms of season tickets that way, because most of the people that are tuning in this tournament are not cheering for the Major League Soccer teams. And those that are tuning in cheering for the Major League Soccer teams have already bought their tickets and 12 strips and 6 scarves and subscriptions to every streaming. You know, like there's no more money to mine out of them. Well, I guess there probably is a little bit more, but it's not really, it's not that significant.
No. Anyway, it's not.
There's no, like, it's, look, this, I have seen people today arguing that this tournament has value that, you know, 2 months ago or a month ago were arguing with me that the Gold Cup did not. So it's bizarre to me, some of the disconnects that are happening there. At least the Gold Cup is you're qualified as you're the champion of the region. You know, this is the champion of nothing. This is the winner of the tournament that was made up 6 months ago and is causing undue stress on the seasons of Major League Soccer teams and is not going to be taken seriously by Liga MX teams at all. They're not going to play their stars in these games. They're going to play their kids, as they should.
You'll see a few numbers in the hundreds, I assume, tonight.
I hope they're all in the hundreds, yeah. Up 200 for good measure.
Yeah, so why not? Here's the game. It starts tonight, 8:30. First of all, where could we watch those games? Are those games going to be on TV? I don't think so. Like, they're not going to be on TV.
I don't think up here they will. They are television skits, yeah. But
okay.
I don't know what platform, to be honest, because I don't care about it. It's competitive, and I don't think there's no think about it. You will be not getting daily coverage of this damn thing. We might talk about it at the end again. We talked about it when it was announced. We're talking about it today at the start. We'll talk about it probably at the end in a brief way. But in terms of game-to-game coverage, why would we? We don't cover friendlies. Why would we cover these friendlies?
That's true.
That's what they are.
It's like the International Champions Cup. I don't care if you branded the Rakuten Cup and you held it in Japan and my favorite club wins it against Barcelona, still doesn't make me watch the game. So that tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, it was Chelsea. The one that Wolves won over City.
Exactly.
Like the Premier League Trophy of Asia or something. It's what they're doing. It's the same thing.
It's like, the International Champions Cup. It started, 5 years ago? In a few games here in North America. Now it's like in Singapore.
Longer, actually, but yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, yeah, we don't cover friendlies because they're friendlies. There's no trend that comes out of those games that will give you an aspect. It's Latin's, like, come on. If the Galaxy plays well against Tijuana tonight at 11 p.m., we're not going to be like, yeah, okay, this is really going to help. It might, but it might not mean a damn thing. And that's what that's why we're not going to necessarily break down the Chicago Cruz Azul result tomorrow morning.
Well, and the Galaxy are already on record saying they're going to play their kids. So, you know, there is your value.
There you go. Zlatan's not playing tonight.
Exactly. The Stars aren't playing. And my issue with this tournament, and there are people on Twitter today that were arguing, well, what are you complaining about more soccer? And I mean, from a purely selfish viewership fan view, I get that point of view. I, as an individual, may tune into a game if I'm doing nothing else on a Tuesday night in a week or so, right? Like whenever the next games are. I might, you know, you never know. And I might watch it for the pure, like, oh, let's see how these kids are doing. Let's see, you know, what young players are standing out that I might get to know better in MLS play or Liga MX play in the days ahead. I might, from a purely selfish fan perspective. But my point of view, my role here is to not speak from a purely selfish fan perspective. It's to speak from a global sport perspective, because I can sit at a pub and listen to people, or y'all can listen to people talk about the fan stuff. No, from the growth of the game stuff, to me, this is problematic in this tournament. It dresses up a pig or puts lipstick on a pig and, you know, calls it a beauty queen winner, right? You know, that's what it's doing.
Why not? But, you know, I agree with you 100%. And that's where I I kind of hope that tonight, and no offense to Chicago or the LA Galaxy, but Cruz Azul at Chicago, putting, I don't know, 10 behind the keeper, would be a little bit entertaining to me. Wouldn't mind being like, yeah, exactly. What did you expect? What did you think was going to happen?
It, well, yeah, I mean, except for Cruz Azul, we'll probably play players that will make the game relatively, competitive. I mean, I saw Superliga back in the day, and they weren't that competitive. And still, like the Mexican team, still, if they put any level of pressure on the accelerator at all, could win those games going away. It's just they chose not to. And even in the final, I mean, again, New England, I don't mean to make a joke about it. When New England won the last one, no one cared. Even New England fans joke about it to this day. It's their only quote-unquote major trophy, right? Like, it's there's nothing to it. And I know that a lot of people, I think, that are like, oh, this would be fun and this could be this, and are trying to spin this positively, are probably new to the sport, new to MLS at least, not the sport. And they think it's going to be this thing where they're going to watch these great competitive matchups game in, game out, and it'll be exciting for them because they get to see these teams. But you're not really seeing the clubs. You're seeing the laundry. And you might be seeing a future star. And that's fine. But even like the Champion Cup last year, Kevin, like, even that was a joke when you saw it firsthand in terms of the competitive level. TFC didn't give two shits whether they won that game or not. And it showed.
No one did. The stands didn't take care, too. And I guess that's the whole point. And we'll see how it looks, how it's wrapped, right? Because it's going to be a product that some people will try to sell you as, oh, it's a major event. No, I'll take a like competitive, like, if we compare it to the other cups right now, like the Canadian Championship and the US Open Cup, for me, those have legitimate value because they have an incentive, because there's a trophy, but the trophy, it's not the trophy itself. The trophy is just a piece of metal until there's like intrinsic value to it. And the Canadian Championship has a ticket to the CONCACAF Champions League. And the U.S. Open Cup has a ticket to the CONCACAF Champions League. The supporters...
Or even the value of the tournament itself. As you say, they can develop intrinsic value. Like, for York 9, I don't think that they're necessarily dreaming of, going to Cruz Azul and winning a CCL game. I mean, maybe deep down in their fever dreams, they might think that in 10 years is possible. But really what they're dreaming of tomorrow night when they play Montreal Impact, if you're not aware, that's a Canadian Cup third round match that takes place with the 2-2 draw heading into it. They're thinking about taking a scalp. And that game is going to be interesting and compelling because it legitimately is a competitive match that has a underdog, a Cinderella team, that is going to be fired up to play the big team, that is going to understand that they need to win this or it's going to be embarrassing. And there's an edge to that. There is no edge to these Super League, sorry, there's something called League's Cup games. I'm going to keep calling it
First
Super
of all,
League, probably.
It's a stupid name, League's Cup. Trying to roll that off your tongue 7 times in a row. It doesn't.
Super League has been done, yeah. So.
Exactly. So, leagues come. Exactly. That S after leagues is like, it doesn't come off. Like, come on, who thought about that? But, yeah, it is what it is. And it gives us 15 minutes of something to talk about and rant about. And now the rest of our day is going to be a bit more positive because we've got that negative energy out of us talking about the league's damn cup.
I love a daily show in July, Kevin. Daily Show in July. We can talk about Gareth Bale transfer rumors next if you want. I don't know.
Where is he going?
Man.
That's a question.
I think he's staying at Real Madrid. Real Madrid. I would bet a tenner that he will be in Real Madrid come November. Maybe things will change in January. There you go. There's our Gareth Bale conversation for the day.
And now let's move back to North America here to finish the show. Austin FC held a press conference earlier today to talk about soccer, obviously, but to announce their first head coach in the history of the team. No, it's not Jose Mourinho. It's not a name that you would recognize as a big manager, but it's a name with experience in North America as a manager and as a player, an old MLS veteran who played for the 1998-2002 Chicago Fire, 84 games, played for the Kansas City Wizard from 2003-2006, another stint with the Wizard from 2008-2010, did a little stint in Europe in a club from Munich in the Bundesliga 2, 1860, and Bundesliga 3 at that time too. I believe 2011-2012 finished his playing career with DC United. Josh Wolf, the first head coach/manager, first manager in the history of Austin FC, the I wanted the new club in Major League Soccer.
Yeah. And from now on forward, we'll just start talking about Austin as a regular club, and we'll attach them in to Columbus. We all know our feelings on how this played out, but we'll just take them at face value moving forward, as we probably should and as everyone probably should. They're in the league now, so is Columbus, so everything worked out in the end, I suppose, especially if you're pre-court. But anyway.
Not if you're San Antonio. Well, if you're San Antonio, you're like, damn it, but that's another story for another day.
Yes. Anyway, in terms of Josh Wolf, he's a player. I know him more as a player than as a coach. He certainly was one of those MLS lifers that longtime TFC fans will remember well. He was at the peak of his powers sort of in those early TFC days and played them quite a bit, playing for the Wizard and for DC United in some more leagues back then. So he's a player that that we've seen play a little bit. He was always a solid sort of, as I said, MLS lifer type player, no flash to his game, but he was always there, sort of a good above average MLS player. He's gone on to coach particularly the national team system in the U.S. as an assistant coach with the U.S. national team. That's probably where his greatest level of experience is. But I would put this appointment in the solidly on there. There's two types of coaches that get hired in Major League Soccer nowadays. The kind of the Greg Vanney, Olsen, Berhalter, those kind of guys that have the playing chops, Vermees, and have moved into the coaching stuff and have a very American focus in terms of their job. And then, of course, there are the Regards, Martinez,
Peter
the big names. So this is definitely on the domestic side of the ledger here.
For sure. But where the big link to pre-court here, which makes this announcement not that surprising when you look at it closely. He was an assistant for the Columbus Crew from 2013 to 2018, and is an assistant coach. And, of course, probably where he developed a relationship with pre-court and with some of the staff that have moved on and working for Austin now from the Columbus Crew days. So this is like a continuation of that project a bit. And it is interesting to see how this will unfold, how maybe the relationship with certain players will come back to, maybe we'll see dealings in the off season and how they build their core amount of players, maybe getting players that do have a relationship as well with Josh Wolf from his Columbus days as an assistant. But it is, in a way, in line with what we think Austin's going to be. Well, what I think Austin's going to be. Austin's not Atlanta. Austin is not going to come up with like LAFC and get a Carlos Vela or a big name. Austin's going to be closer to Minnesota, I believe, in the way that they do launch the team and not necessarily having a big name to start their beginning of play in Major League Soccer.
Precisely. That's where I was going with next. That is the one big take. You don't know what he's going to be like. Josh Wolf, who knows what he's going to be like as a coach, really. He's been an assistant, was a decent player, but that's all we really know. That's all we really can base this on. In terms of his performance with the team, there's no real measures that we can look at to make any, objective, any intellectual, any predictions that have any value. But what we can do is look at what type of appointment this was and speculate from that on what type of team Austin is. And as you just say, this solidly puts them in the build slowly and smartly and find value side of the ledger, as opposed to the make big splash, jump into the league, potentially win MLS Cup in your second league side of the ledger, which is your Atlantas and your LAFCs. That's the two types of expansion teams. And I'm sure when Miami comes in, they will be on that side of the ledger.
Absolutely. So,
and Nashville, who knows? Like, I don't know where Nashville is going to fall. I'd
somewhere
have to look
in between.
At the ownership structure.
Yeah, maybe somewhere
in exactly.
Between. But Dwayne, let me make an analogy. I've been working on a lot of furniture lately at my house because I moved and the studio moved to a lot of new furniture. So I've been really familiar with IKEA recently. And let me make an example. When you have like Atlanta, LAFC, that's the high-end furniture that comes already built. And you just put it in your living room and it already looks good from day one. That's the one type. And then you have Minnesota and you have Orlando and you have Austin. The more IKEA version of build a team, where you get your team. All right, you got the team. Now you have to put it together yourself.
Yeah, well, precisely. And look, I don't think anyone's surprised that Columbus was a small market at Precourt. And Precourt, when you look at his overall value, is a small market owner. So it doesn't surprise us. It shouldn't surprise us that they made a small market appointment. That doesn't mean they can't be successful. Obviously, you can be. But I do think it means that they are unlikely to be championship contenders very soon. Because you do need top-end talent to do that. And if you are going to play that route, if you're going to play that game, this is not MLS 2010 anymore, where Salt Lake City can be your MLS Cup champions. Or was that 2009? It was 2009 they won MLS Cup champion. But anyway,
yep.
It's not that type of MLS anymore. It is not an MLS where you can sort of nickel and dime, moneyball your way to a title. You do need big-name DP talent. And if you're going to be a small market, you can get it. But you have to be smart. You have to find it creatively. You have to find Piatti, really, that type of player that was a little bit unknown heading into it. It's not that Piatti's kind of on the upper end of that, I think, but nonetheless, that would be the type of player that you know, he chose to go to Montreal. There are guys out there like that you can find that show value. You're going to have to go after the younger DP level of things and hope you develop them and maybe sell them on. There's smart ways to do it, but you're not going to – there's no cheat code coming into this, because the cheat code is the money, and their money is not the same, both in terms of the market size. You're not going to have massive national companies that are going to jump in and instantly make you, you know, a big player in the game, and you're not going to sell 60,000 tickets a game at big prices, right?
Yeah, that's where Minnesota is a bit of a unique situation, where Target, being from the area, jumped on board and not only became a local sponsor, but a national league-wide sponsor, with the visibility focused on Minnesota as well. So that's one thing. I don't know. There's some companies based in Austin for sure. But, like, it won't be like, I don't know. Let's just say it won't be like a big car manufacturer, right? That's not where their headquarters are.
I'm not sure the league's moving in that direction. You look at Seattle moving from Xbox to
Zulily?
Cheap crap from China. I mean, that's, you know.
That's true. That's, yeah. Call it spade a spade.
Yeah.
Wayfair. Wayfair will sponsor Austin or something.
Exactly.
Because you know what? They got just what you need.
South by Southeast. Just lean into the hipster club or the counterculture club. It'll be a bit hard to do that considering how they got there.
True. South by Southwest, yeah. Burning Man should be sponsoring Austin. That's funny.
Yeah, there you go.
Because the tree's going to burn. And the first season, it's going to burn a little. It's karma going to bring to you. It's going to be a little tough in year one in Austin, let me tell you that. But on that note, we're going to say goodbye for today. Dwayne and I are working right after this on the Two Solid Dudes Soccer Podcast that you can find on patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. $2 a month will give you access to this exclusive podcast where Dwayne and I covered the Canadian Premier League, Canadian soccer as a whole, Canadian women's national team, men's national team, and where Dwayne and I, like, oftentimes do interesting rant about Canadian soccer. And it's no holds barred behind the paywall. So, you know, $2 a month for your entertainment purposes is quite a deal. And on that note, for Dwayne, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larame. Until tomorrow, we bid you a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.